chapter 11 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll begin reading in verse 13. God speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Thou wilt send grass to thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings to us, and I thank you for this word. And dear God, we know that there are things and promises given to Israel that do not apply to us today. But I also know there are things that we can learn from this passage to help us in our Christian lives, to help us to glorify your name. And God, I pray that you would edify the church this morning. That's what we need. We need your Spirit to use your word to make us more like your Son. And I pray you do that, God, in each one of our lives. Father, I thank you for the word that's gone forth this morning in the adult Sunday school hour, in the children's Sunday school hour. I thank you for those working in the nursery, for my dear wife interpreting the message and sign. Father, I pray for the filling of your Spirit for all who minister, that you'd be glorified. Father, help me in this message to preach and teach that which you've laid on my heart. I pray, loving Father, that the songs of praise and worship we have sung to you have been pleasing unto you, and that as you view our hearts, that you see that we love you, and dear God, that we want to draw closer to you. Oh Lord, words cannot express how much we need you, how much we need your power, how much we need you to change us. So Father, I pray you'd help us in that. And bless this morning. Bless your people that have come. And to help us to continue to be a light here. A light to those around us, we pray in Jesus' name. And for his glory, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, Heaven on Earth. Heaven on Earth. God told Israel if they would listen, it would be so good. He'd bless them so much, it'd pretty much be like the days of heaven on earth. Israel was promised great health and prosperity as a nation if they'd love God with all their heart and keep all His commandments. God is not against Christians prospering. The Apostle John even wrote, Beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospereth. God is not against Christians prospering. He wants the best for us. The fact is, sometimes material prosperity is not the best thing for us. Many times we need trials to grow. God uses those things for our good and for His glory. Many of these promises in the Old Testament that God gave to Israel were promise of material blessings. We listen to some of the preaching of Moses, and he sounds like some of the prosperity preachers of today. If you listen to God, God's going to bless your fields. God's going to bless your houses. God's going to bless everything that you endeavor to do. And he sounds like perhaps some of those prosperity preachers of the day. Of course, the difference is that Moses told them they would have this great prosperity and blessings only if they would love God with all their heart and keep all His commandments. And that's exactly what God told Moses to tell them. Of course, the folks today, the prosperity preachers today, say, well, God just wants you to believe. If you want that car that you saw, that shiny, beautiful thing in that new car parking lot there, if you just believe, and believe enough, God will give you that thing. That's almost what it sounds like, what they're preaching, You don't find that kind of thing in the Bible. God promised Israel He would bless them, and He did promise to bless them materially in many things, and as we just read, great crops and all those things. But what was the stipulation? If they would love Him with all their heart, and if they would keep all His commandments. A little introduction here, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about the outline there. How do you think that worked out for them? Well, let me ask you this. How do you think that would work out for you and I? You see, some of these promises we can't claim because they're given to Israel. God never told you to America that if you served Him, you'd have a full bank account. He never promised you and I that. He's never promised us that if we served Him, we'd have perfect and good health. He hasn't promised us that. He did promise it to Israel. If they loved Him with all their heart and kept all His commandments all the time. I remind us again, how do you think they did? They failed, didn't they? By the way, we can judge that by how well we think we do. We would have failed at it. You see, we can't claim these promises, some of these promises here, first of all, because they're given to Israel, not us. But then the second part of the promise, also, we can't claim them also. Why? Because neither do we what? Keep all his commandments all the time. So there's two grounds on which we can't claim this promise. We're not Israel, and just like Israel, we haven't kept all His commandments all the time either. So we can't really claim those things. And Israel realized this. They'd failed to keep God's promises. That was what the Old Testament taught. Do these things. Do them. Don't just wish to do them. Don't just be sorry that when you fail to do them, but do them. Do them always, and God will bless you. And how many people in the Bible have done God's will always? Just one man. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that's why they couldn't claim all of those blessings that God had given them. The people of Israel recognized their failure in that. Matter of fact, they would eventually go away into captivity. Just as God said, because they began to disobey against God and His commandments and to worship false gods. They went away to captivity. Remember, the Bible teaches that. Nehemiah was a leader who led some of the Israelites back out of Babylon to Jerusalem when their captivity in Babylon ended. And Nehemiah remembered, oh, I remember why we went into captivity, because we disobeyed God. In Nehemiah 9:29, the scripture says, and he testified against them, that thou mightest bring them again under thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. That's what the law talks about. They withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. They withdrew the shoulder. God said this and Israel did this. Ever see a little child do that? We've seen some of our grandkids do this. Come here and do it. They withdrew the shoulder. You know? And we do that sometimes when God tells us to do something, you know. Well, I don't want to do that. And how merciful God is. So we look at these commandments here. All these blessings that are promised. And then we get to the parts in this passage here where it says, but it's only if you love God with all your heart. It's only if you keep all the commandments all the time. What do we think? It's almost like, you know, the poet John Milton, Paradise Lost. Oh, that sure looks beautiful. It sure would be heaven on earth if we did all that and kept all that. But you know what? We haven't, have we? And neither has Israel. And so it seems like all that stuff is just gone, it seems. How could we even attain to it? With the contemplation of our sin and the law's requirements, we have this sad story, perhaps, of Paradise Lost. Can we ever experience heaven on earth? Well, think about this. Anyone who believes we can experience heaven on earth has not read or understood what the Bible says about our sin and this sin-cursed earth, and what the Bible says about the splendors of heaven. We're not going to experience, I'll guarantee you, all that God has for us in heaven. We're not going to experience all of that in this place. Now, that's not going to happen. But the fact is that we can experience as much of heaven as possible on this sin-cursed earth if we'll walk with God. And we can experience joys and riches on the inside. Because someone came to take care of our sin problem, didn't he? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You see, the truth was too hard for us sinners to keep. But Jesus came full of grace and truth. He came to take care of our sin, that we could be forgiven, and that we also may have a rich life even now. He says in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Know these true riches. And so in this passage, even here this morning, we see some keys to experiencing as much of heaven on earth as anyone in a mortal body on a sin-cursed earth can possibly experience. And it's God's desire that we would experience that, all that He has for us, all that we can in that sense now. And so point number one, if we would experience heaven on earth, we must, number one, cultivate a spiritual heart. We must, number one, cultivate a spiritual heart. Look at verse 18. Therefore, you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Cultivate a spiritual heart. And so what is a spiritual heart? Well, we think about a spiritual heart. First of all, a spiritual heart is, this would be A on the outline up there, a spiritual heart is a diligent heart. It is a diligent heart. Look at verse 22 in Deuteronomy 11. For if ye shall what? Diligently keep all these commandments. Be diligent about keeping, about walking with God. You may not do them perfectly. I may not do them perfectly. But be diligent, you know, about keeping these commandments. Learn the word of God. He talks about write them as a sign on your hand. You know, put them as frontlets on your eyes. And the idea is stressing the importance of learning the word of God. I mentioned before, we have so many helps now. I've got a whole bookcase of books. Many of them, I even the reference books, many of them I don't use anymore because I can get those things on the computer. And I can take the same book on the computer and type out a phrase, and it'll find it in that book anywhere I want. We have so much available to us. We have no excuse, all of us, not to be Bible students. We ought to all be Bible students studying the Word of God, having that diligent heart, not only to learn the Word of God, but to keep the Word of God. Let it permeate our whole being until it becomes our desire and our wisdom and our character. It is supposed to be changing our lives in that manner. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ, what? Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The riches of the Word of God in our hearts now. Last week's message was speaking about how we could use blessings in this life to have riches up in heaven. Take our time that we have now, use that for God. Take our talents that we have now, use that for God. Material things, you know, use it in a way to glorify God. Riches in heaven. Well, here, today we're talking about spiritual riches that I can have now. The Word of God, by the way, is spiritual riches and treasures in your heart now. As we study them, as we learn them. And as we come to Sunday school in the morning and Sunday worship service in the morning and Sunday night service at night and Wednesday night Bible study and have our personal devotions to the Bible, we learn the Word of God and it becomes rich in our hearts and lives. As we apply it to our hearts and lives, we learn that Word. And we need to be continually learning and being diligent to follow what we learn and apply that. Because the only other option beside the diligent heart is a deceived heart. Look at verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, what? That your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You see, the fact is, when it comes to you and I and our walk with God this year, and any time, we really only have two choices. We're going to be diligent and grow, or we're going to be deceived and not. That's really the only two choices we have. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, seeing ye know God's going to destroy this world and make a new one. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Well, how do you do that? The next verse is the only way. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So according to 2 Peter 3, 7-18, we'll do one of two things this year. We'll either grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or we will fall from our own steadfastness. And that's one of the choices that we have. I don't know about you, but I want to grow, amen? I want to be a person that's growing. And if we're not growing, then we're going to be getting colder and going away from God and falling from our own steadfastness. We don't want that. We want to serve God with that diligent heart. To be diligent about the things of God. One person wrote, "Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow." You know, how about we start applying those things now? Amen. And when's the time for me to be diligent about seeing this thing change, setting this sin aside, or serving God in this manner? Right now. Right now. Today, if you'll hear His voice. Amen. It's now. And what a blessing that by His grace we can begin that now. And then secondly, we're going to need to cultivate a spiritual heritage if we want to experience as much of heaven on earth as we can now. We have to cultivate a spiritual inheritance. Verse 19 here. "Teach them, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see, we need to be among those who are often teaching and ministering to others according to the Word of God. A spiritual heritage. That is, that we're helping somebody else grow in the Lord. And children, the Bible says, are an heritage of the Lord. I see these little ones. It's so wonderful. What a blessing to go up and grow up in a spiritual home. Some of you gave testimony about growing up in a spiritual home. And what a blessing that is. And we ought to be diligent to teach our children. By the way, our children are out of the home now. And we're trying to do what we can as grandparents. But also, you may be in that situation. You may not have children. But then, then you have family that you can reach out to. You have coworkers that you can reach out to. You have neighbors that you can reach out to. But we want to be endeavoring to what? To leave a spiritual heritage. We are here to have an impact on somebody else. And we ought to be focused upon not our only growth. We don't grow to say, "Look at how much I've grown." We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so God can use us to help another grow. Amen. That's why we do that. And so we ought to be focused on this, on a spiritual heritage, helping someone else along the way as well. Even the great preachers and teachers, the apostles of the Bible, were helped by others. 2 Timothy 1:16, Paul writes this: "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." There's somebody who helped the apostle Paul. He said, "Man, what a blessing this guy's ministry was to me. He was refreshing to me. When I was in Rome, some people shied away from me because I was a prisoner. Not Onesiphorus. He sought me out. He ministered unto me." What a blessing. And Hebrews 6:7 says this: "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God." Hebrews 6:7. What is God saying about the earth there? It receives that rain. It receives that rain from God. Why? So it can bring forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. To bring forth what? Fruit to others. God says the earth that does that, when my blessings come on it, when I send the rain on it and it brings forth fruit to those others, that earth is blessed. You see? And we'll become blessed of God in that sense when we take what God has given us and we become a blessing to others. When God works through us in that way, I'm going to have to get a box of Kleenexes down there. We're going to grab these right there. Excuse me. cultivating a spiritual heritage. We think about Israel and the sad story of the spiritual heritage that they had. And you know, I'm glad that God shows us our failures too, because we can learn from those, can't we? God shows us some paths that we shouldn't go down. Amen. And we see those throughout the Bible, cultivating a spiritual heritage. What did Israel start out with? They started out with a faithful devotion. Remember when they conquered that land and Moses had passed away and Joshua became the great leader of God, filled with the Spirit, led them to conquer all those enemies in the land of Canaan. And then in Joshua 24:31, that wonderful news. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Praise the Lord. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. What a wonderful start. They served God. While Joshua, all the days he was alive, and by the way, all the days after he died, that same generation lived with Joshua. They served God. What a blessing. It began with that faithful devotion. But then what do we see in the history of Israel? Then we see a faltering discipline. You see, they had been commanded what? Now, when you go in that land, destroy all those enemies. God says there are seven nations that I have deemed need to be destroyed. Leaving them around will not be good for you or anybody on the earth. Now, when you become a great nation, there will be other nations that you'll fight with. You don't have to destroy all them. I'm not judging them yet. You can, you know, maybe take some captives there, and maybe some riches from them as they battle against you. But these nations here in Canaan, utterly destroy them. Did Israel obey God? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Look at Judges chapter 1. There we see the sad story of that. Judges chapter 1 verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns. Verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, Judges 1. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Verse 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. So, did they obey God fully? No. Neither did Ephraim, neither did Zebulun, neither did Asher, neither did Naphtali, neither did so-and-so, neither did... They didn't obey God. There was a faltering discipline. They were not disciplined to keep all the commandments of God. We had to be careful as believers. If we want to experience as much heaven on earth as God wants us to, we got to be disciplined in following God. Oh, it's okay if I keep a little sin around. This sin will make a good prisoner of mine. You know, it won't take over my life. You know, I'll control it and keep it under. That's what Israel thought about the people that left in the land too, didn't they? And what happened? They ended up worshiping their false gods. They ended up becoming slaves to their false beliefs. That's why God says us we don't make peace treaties with sin. We are to be fighting against those things. Seeing our lives purged by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit as we draw closer to Him. They had a faltering discipleship. You see, perhaps they thought, well, everybody else is doing it. Manasseh didn't drive out their people, and lightning hadn't come down from heaven yet, and it must be okay. Zebulun didn't drive out there, didn't obey God fully. They're still doing okay. Neither Asher didn't obey God. They're still doing okay. And we're like that Christian sometimes. Well, so-and-so doesn't go to church all the time. You know, so-and-so doesn't give. So-and-so doesn't worry about witnessing. And they're okay. Look at their business. You see? But you know what we're going to miss? We're going to miss heaven on earth in our lives as much as we can experience. Because we're not obeying God. We're going to find ourselves in a faltering discipline if we don't discipline ourselves to follow God in His will and in His ways. Because everybody else is doing it has never been an excuse. Amen. Matter of fact, if everybody's doing it, it's usually wrong. And God wants us to follow Him in that way. They had a faltering discipline. And you know what that led to? That led to a failed discipleship. One of the saddest things, verses in the Bible, is in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 reads this. And also, all that generation, that's those that lived with Joshua, were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, listen, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. You see, they failed to bring up that heritage. They failed because they faltered in their discipline. They failed as in discipling others. So there rose up a generation and said, who's God? What'd he do? Oh, that is so heartbreaking, isn't it? That is so heartbreaking. And we don't want to go down those roads. We want to follow God in that way. We want to be diligent about doing what we can and follow God in that way. That spiritual heritage, those true rich, you know, that's those true riches, and doing what we can. A story is told about a man who found out it was time to go to heaven. He asked the Lord if he could bring just one thing. The Lord said no. Finally, after many requests, the Lord said, okay, you can bring one thing. Happy, the man packed his suitcase full of gold. When he arrived in heaven, the angel said, sorry, you can't bring that in here. And he said, the Lord said I could. The angel says, oh, okay. By the way, what's in there anyway? The angels asked him. The man opened the bag. They looked in, and the angel said, oh, it's pavement. It's pavement. The streets are made out of gold. I was thinking, it isn't any good because, I mean, the angel can't even say, oh, it's pavement. Fill that pothole over there with it. But because there's no potholes in heaven, they don't even need it. The gold streets are perfect there, okay? And our having a heart that's after God, and having that heritage, those are the true riches here that we store up. Those are those true riches. And then, thirdly and finally, we need to cultivate a spiritual home. And we do that by considering our public testimony. Look at verse 20. And thou shalt write them the words of God upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, think about that. Whether coming or going, when you come out of your house, what do you see? When you come out to do your business, what do you see? You see the gates. That's what your door is behind you when you come out of your house. And when you come back home, what do you see? You're looking at that door, aren't you? You're headed right straight for that door. So whether you're coming or going, whether you're going out to do all your business in the world, have the Word of God as your guide for life and the way that you live. And by the way, when you come home and when you go in that door, make sure the Word of God reigns in there too. Amen. Whatever God has for you. Brother Dennis was talking about, you know, this morning in the lesson about some Christians who don't seem to live the things of God. Oh, they're one way in church, but they come home and the rest of the week. Yeah. And they make sure when they go out the gates that they got the word there and everything looks fine. But the problem is, God says put them on your doorpost too. When you go home, don't forget to make your home a haven. Don't forget to be at home. What you are out. And what a challenge. And to conduct our lives, we become a public testimony to all those that are around. We become a public testimony to our family. Nobody knows my spirituality in here like my wife does. Nobody knows hers probably like I do. Of course, other than I'm talking humanly speaking. And we ought to sound off one another. Amen. Be willing to take constructive criticism from one another in our homes. And you speak about those things. Cultivating a spiritual home, our public, our testimony. But people are watching you. They watch you coming. They watch you going. By the way, I want people watching me going on Sunday morning. I want people watching me going on Sunday night. I want people watching me going on Wednesday night. I want people watch me going, knowing I'm going to the house of God. And I want my family to know, coming in my home, that God is there and God is helping us. And that we are serving and cultivating a spiritual home. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Proverbs 8:34 is talking about wisdom, like wisdom is a person. And if wisdom were a person, wisdom would say this: blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the posts of my doors. The same thing, gates and doors right there. In the now. In the now. James 3:17. The wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. That's number one. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of good mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's the kind of wisdom you and I need in our lives. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. You see, the fact is, if you and I will be sincere with God and open with God, we won't have to worry about others. We'll be what God wants us to be before others. If we'll recognize God's the one that sees my heart, I want my heart and my motives to be pure. And by the way, if my heart and our motives are being purified, so will my actions and my words. If we just be concerned about what God thinks, others are going to look at us and say, that person's living a godly life. And we'll be that public testimony. Our homes will become that public testimony to what God wants us to be. Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Sincerely from the heart. And you know what? That teaching wasn't foreign to Israel. Listen to what Joshua taught them in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. It's amazing how much New Testament's in the Old Testament. Serve them in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. What a blessing. Remember what Joshua said, that famous verse we've memorized, and 24:15, I think it is. I'm a little vague on the address right now, but 24:15, I think it is. As for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. it will serve the Lord. God wants us to do that. And we ought to do that in every way that we can. Taking action regarding godly things. One day, a young man moved into a cave to study with a wise man. He hoped to learn everything there was to know. After giving his student a stack of books, the wise man sprinkled itching powder on the student's hand and left. Every morning, the wise man returned to the cave to monitor his student's progress. "Have you learned everything there is to know yet?" the wise man would ask. Every morning, the student would answer, "No, I haven't." Then the wise man would sprinkle itching powder on the student's hand and leave. This was repeated for months. One day, as the wise man entered the cave, the student took the bag of itching powder and tossed it into the fire. "Congratulations," said the wise man. "You've graduated. You've learned you don't have to know everything to do something positive." Amen. And listen, we don't have to know this whole book perfectly before what? We can begin by God's grace doing what we do know. Amen. Just a step at a time. A step at a time. We follow God in that way. We will also have a prolonged testimony. What's the verse say there? Verse 21, "That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth." Living godly is the best thing that you can do with God's help to ensure the length of your life. And you say, what about food and diet? What about diet and exercise? That's important, but not near as important as godliness. Because you can have all the physical being in absolute great physical health, so to speak, and die suddenly in some way. But godliness is profitable unto all things, the Bible says, having promise of a life which now is and that which is to come. And you know, if we'll do these things, nothing's going to be like heaven. Heaven's going to be great. I was looking at the sky this morning, watching the clouds and praying. As I was praying this morning before, I'd already been up, started the message and praying, looking out there, just thinking how wonderful heaven's going to be. And he's coming back one of these days. Amen. He's coming back. And we're going to go with him. But you know what? And it's going to be, I'll guarantee you, it's wonderful here walking with him, but it's going to be better in heaven. Better when you see him face to face. But listen, we can have as much of heaven on earth as possible now if we'll obey these and follow these simple things that God has put out by his grace and by his mercies and keep these things first in our hearts and lives. He'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And dear God, you have given your Son to be our Savior. Lord Jesus, you have died for us and suffered more than we can understand. And you've risen again. And you have done that so that we could know spiritual riches now in our lives, that you might fill our joy cup, that we might experience as much of heaven on this earth as we possibly can now. And I pray help us as believers to follow you and to make that our desire and to not procrastinate, to realize that now is the time to draw closer to you. We'll either grow in grace or we'll fall from our own steadfastness in the days to come. Help us to be among those who would grow in grace. Help us by your power and for your glory. And we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.